Welcome to The Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and we are here to preview round 10, which is Magic Round, and it's a massive week. And in fact, this is one of two preview shows. We have a bonus preview episode that's going to go up live tomorrow night, all the same places. Watch it live at 7 p.m. Thursday night, Facebook, YouTube, or listen or watch back later. We're going to have a host of guests. I'll talk more about that later. We've got Winning Mood, which is live tonight as well. So we've got heaps of tips to share. This will be a regular preview, though. And we've got our regular, best bets and mixed matchup, but we've got some extra special and creative markets to share in the next 24 hours, too. So it's a great time to be a footy fan. We've got a bunch of awesome games to unpack. And we're on a little roll as well coming into this big weekend. Back-to-back sweeps. And talk about the highs and lows of punting. Podonis, we got them all in one game, that Sharks-Warriors game.
Yeah, 100%. It was a phenomenal week last week. Ebbs and flows. It was a roller coaster, conceding that send-off. And then the Sharks fighting back to not only win us the mixed matchup, but also the 13-plus as our best bet, which looked long gone just before halftime. And on to Magic Round, and hopefully the pod can create a bit more magic.
Yeah, mate, that was magic. I was stunned when that happened, but look, we already recapped that. That's what the recap show is good for. So if you want to relive some of that emotion, but that's last week. Now we look forward, and we're going to give you our Magic Round best bets straight off the top, as we always do. And we've got two for you. We're on a couple more favorites as well, I'll let you know. And the first one being South Sydney, maybe an unpopular favorite, the form they're in, but we're taking them -3.5 in the second half. Now, that's $1.87 on Dabble. Copy that from at Jacob Wynn right now. Next best price, $1.85 Lads Neds, or $1.82 on Toppy. You might be able to do something with that as well. Biggest reasoning, Podonis?
Full disclosure, this round, the lines are pretty tight. Didn't feel that there was much value with many games, but this was definitely one we felt strong on. Souths are sitting at a 4-5 record, and I fully expect them to come out focused and a bit pissed off. There's also the potential give-up factor for the Warriors if they are flat, due to the demoralizing nature of last week's loss. But even if the Warriors come out with some fight and spirit in the first half, I do still like South to grind them out and wear them down as the game goes on, and their class will hopefully take over late. I made this number closer to 8.5. And we also like the second half line a lot more, because if this line does creep to 7.5 and goes beyond the 6.5, then there's not much value in the match line, whereas the second half line will go from 3.5 to 4.5 and get past a key number. So it's a good edge for us. So let's roll with South.
And if it goes the other way, even if the line was to creep down a little bit, and let's say, and a big factor for all the games, which we're going to touch on several times, is weather. And if the weather just gets worse and worse, you know, some of these bigger lines, they will creep in a little bit. But even if South start a 4.5 or 5.5 point favorite, which we don't think they will, but if they did, you still would have the same second half line. So we don't feel like this number could ever be any worse, but it could be, the number won't be any better, but it could be worse. And for me, yeah, I could only play South. They offer longer preparation. They offer humbling defeat. Now, they lose Cam Murray, but you get that injured player theory that the rest of the pack can step up somewhat, and they have got some other troops coming back. It just feels like a really important game for their season. And on that note of weather, I think I want to be on the teams that I know will give a max effort. It's not going to be all about skill this weekend. It will be about will. I know I'll get that out of South Sydney for 80. I don't know if I'll get that out of New Zealand after such a disappointing result and performance last week. How do they respond? It can go one of multiple ways. And even if they do play well, we could still cover that number as well. We think South is the superior team. We'll take the superior team again on the Sunday, where the weather could pick up a little bit. We're going second half line. Again, it's a similar principle we've used in the pod many times, where the underdog may be more likely to cover in a first half if they can keep it tight, where sometimes the favorites, once they get in front and that cumulative fatigue, you get the favorites kind of flexing their muscles, and it's easier to cover a second half line. So we'll take the -5.5 second half with the Cronulla Sharks, and that's $1.80 on Ladbrokes and Neds. It's just under that price on Toppy, but you may get something better if you want to play it there, if that's an option for you. Podonis.
It's another second half line, and we're going back to the well with the Sharkies. We touched on it at the top. They delivered in a big way for us last week, and it was a statement win for their season, and they're really knocking on the door of the top four now. I genuinely believe that. Losing Kennedy, for me, is not much of a downgrade, given that Hines will defend in fullback and he'll still play in the line in attack with the ball, as he's done all season. If anything, it'll probably keep Hines a little bit fresher, doesn't have to make all those same tackles in the line. The Sharks are one of the best sides in the comp at playing what's in front of them and playing some footy. And that's exactly what they'll be able to do here, with the weather predicted to be a bit better on Sunday. And they should put a lot of strain on the Raiders' defensive line, who can be frail against the other top sides. Wyden's still suspended, and they were poor against the Bulldogs last week despite winning. So I think that's played into the spread a bit here, and it should be 12 or above. So I like that small edge we're getting. And the Raiders, let's not forget, they scored a last-minute winner against the Sharks in round one. So I like the revenge element. Sharks to get one back here and cover the spread here in the second half.
Yeah, and Cronulla just are on a roll. And if you want to question, well, that would have taken a lot of petrol out of the tank last week, maybe a little bit, but I think that's compensated for just the energy boost and the confidence that you get out of a performance like that. If you can hold a team for 50-plus minutes to zero line breaks with 12 men and at one point 11, imagine how well you can defend with 13. And if the weather does improve, I mean, we don't know exactly what the conditions will be, but I think if the weather's bad, they'll be restricting the Raiders to a low score, and if the weather's a bit better, the Sharkies will be putting on points. And I feel like if they didn't cop a send-off last week, they easily could have beaten New Zealand by 50, just seeing the state of mind that Warriors team was in compared to Cronulla. So we're actually getting a cheap line here if you look at it that way, depending on what respect you have for the Raiders. Now, yeah, they got the monkey off their back. I think that was a pressure release win last week, but it wasn't that impressive at all. They had all the ball and only scored two tries. You mentioned they're still missing Whiten. We think the Sharks, even with a couple of suspensions, cover those positions pretty well. They look strong to me. And I don't think they'll be complacent either after failing their last recent trip to Suncorp Stadium. So I reckon they'll go strong here. So that's our second best bet, Sharks minus 5.5. Let's jump straight into where the moves have been in the market. Thanks to our sponsored segment, Market Watch, from Top Sport.
G'day Tripod family, it's Tristan here from Top Sport, and we've got Magic Round. We've got Magic Round upon us, and it's exciting. Unfortunately, the weather's not really doing its part. There's going to be some low-scoring games you'd expect, and I guess something to monitor throughout the course of the weekend is how the ground plays, you know, particularly on the Sunday matches. So I think the rain's meant to stick around till Friday, and then maybe Saturday's okay and Sunday's okay, but obviously there'll be a little bit of damage done you'd feel in the lead up, and then with so many games on the one surface. So it's added an extra layer of complexity to price these games up. So what I'm excited about actually is that the vast majority of these games are nice and tight in the betting. So Cronulla Canberra is the only game which is over 10 at the moment. And then the total points, every game is under 40.5. So the line set at under 40.5. So they'll be tight, low scoring matches you'd expect. But keep an eye on what any trends are, because there might be some things to keep in mind as we get deeper into the ground, where, you know, bookmakers and the traders are focusing on the game that's upon us. But maybe there might be some trends there that you can take advantage of. Probably the biggest move of the round so far has actually been the Roosters against the Eels. They've been back 3.5 into 2.5. Just solid money in that. And then the Panthers Storm has been the same move. So that game opened at Pickham. Well, it was Pickham before the Panthers lost against the Eels there last week. And then obviously before Papenhuyzen got hurt. So we had to factor both of those elements in. And now the Panthers go into 2.5-point favourites. But there's been a little bit of pushback for the Storm. So fascinating week coming up. Hope everyone backs a winner. And as always, gamble responsibly.
Tristan looks all right there. We talked about the mixed matchup before, because he sent me his market recap for the live show last week. And at that point in time, the Warriors were playing with an extra man against the Sharks, and they thought they were going to have a miracle win on their side of the equation, with a lot of money riding, obviously, on the mixed matchup as it does every week, but into Cronulla. Every big favorite won over the weekend last week after some upsets Thursday, Friday. People backed Cronulla with the line. People backed Cronulla half-time, full-time. And I never, you know, apologize. We are rivals, us and the bookies, even though we've got to work with them. But I even texted Tristan on Monday and said, sorry about that one, because we were cheering the way that Cronulla not only won the game but covered. And I actually felt like that must have been a gut punch for Toppy and for a lot of bookies. But Tristan's not usually too emotional with results. But I will say, in his reply, included the spew emoji. So I think they were just so disgusted by how the Warriors played. And hey, we're going up against the Warriors this week. As I said on the recap as well, I believe the Tripod New Zealand Warriors curse is broken. We'll put it to the test with our best bet for Magic Round as well on Saturday. Again, Tristan touched on weather being a theme, and And talking about trends, if the first game or two on Friday night is 6-4, you know, 8-2 kind of scores with 10 to go, maybe these totals that are around 35.5, 37.5, maybe they're too high. And maybe you just smash unders for Saturday. Or if the weather doesn't end up being that bad and the surface is holding up and the scores are in the 20s, then maybe you play over these really low totals. So that's the kind of stuff where you might see something in a prior game that can help you assess what might play out in later games. Of course, weather, it's always a little bit unpredictable. But look, Tristan mentioned a couple of blockbuster matches for the round, and it kicks off with arguably the biggest blockbuster of all. We've got 15th versus 16th. I'm actually, in all seriousness, I'm really intrigued by this one. I think it's going to be dead set warfare. It is the Bulldogs against the Knights, and the Knights are 2.5-point underdogs. And I love the fact that they did match this up. It had to be deliberate to try and match a lot of teams against opponents of a similar level. So we should get a lot of close games. Definitely expect that. In this case, the Dogs have no major changes from the side that did lose down in Canberra last week. The Knights get back Mitch Barnett from that long suspension. Clune returns from injury. How did you see this one, Padonis?
Yeah, so the Knights couldn't have played any worse over the past 5 to 6 weeks. And the fact that they are only a 2.5-point underdog, it also shows how low the Bulldogs are rated by the market. So we can give ourselves a small pat on the back because we did predict that preseason when they were a bit of a smoky pick to make the eight. And this is a game for us that, as we said, is 15th versus 16th. We did have the Dogs as a futures bet to win the spoon to come last. So I am cheering for the Knights, although I did slightly lean to the Bulldogs in this game. Barnett and Clune returning, I don't feel that's as significant enough to me, and they're still missing a bunch of players. And the Bulldogs are limited, but in wet conditions, I do favour their forward pack, and the kicking game of Burden is an edge in this game. So I can make a case for both teams because Newcastle are in a big spot off a few losses. They should come out hard and play hard, but I did expect the Bulldogs to be a bigger favourite than what they were. But ultimately, because the spot is in favour of Newcastle, it's a pass for me. My biggest lean probably would have been the unders in this game, but given that it's already at 34.5, it's way too low and you can't play that number.
Yeah, the secret's out. It's the common narrative of this round, which is unfortunate, is a lot of people are going to be looking at unders and not expecting a lot of points. And that does also mean, I should say off the top, like any underdog catching those points, they're more valuable in low-scoring games. And the 2.5 could be all the difference. And if this game was pick'em, I probably would be with you on the Dogs. But I feel that line's probably about right because I'm with you. I can make a case for both sides. Second week in a row, you could argue the Bulldogs come in with the better spine. Now, if you think about it, you look at each spine, neither of them blows you away. They've both got one crown jewel. It's Burton on one side and Callum Ponga on the other side. And I think Burton's gone better than Ponga right now. I think that's massive what you touched on. Forward pack, I reckon the battle's pretty even with the Knights, who I know will be improved. For one reason, then they're coming down in class. Who have they played recently? Para, Melbourne, and a flying Cowboys team in Townsville. Now you come down and play the Dogs on a neutral, and you do get back two key forwards, which they've been crying out for. So I know the Knights will be better. So I think their forward pack matches it, but in poor conditions, you're right. Like the kicking game could decide it. So you're looking at Birdo and even Flanagan as well. I really considered the Knights because I felt like they'll be so desperate and they're really trying to get that pressure release win. And this could be an all-in spot because it is very winnable. But then you can say it's winnable for the Dogs as well. So ultimately, felt the line was probably around where it should be. Let's move to another really interesting clash, which is Seagulls Broncos, the primetime Friday game. If I didn't mention already, the previous game, also Friday. No games Thursday night. It's going to be tough. But that's part of the reason why we're giving you that bonus pod. That will fill some of your footy fix. So for the Seagulls, they're getting back Olakau'atu from illness. Schuster is battling a calf injury and he's only in the reserves. For the Broncos, Haas and Capewell are back and they've won back-to-back weeks as double-digit underdogs. And that's why the line for this game is much lower, even against a side that finished top four last year. Now, Padonis, you leaned to Brisbane the last 2 weeks, but has the market kind of caught up to their ability now?
Yeah, so the Broncos are starting to build some genuine momentum. And after a bit of a winning streak, they're full of confidence. No one can deny that. But I do agree with you. The market is starting to catch up with them as a team. I don't feel there's any value either way. And I think the market's pretty spot on here. And when I was going through the two teams, I found it hard to really find many edges in this game. I feel that Reynolds and Cherry Evans' kicking games are pretty even. You'd say they'd cancel each other out. With Capewell and Haas back, and Schuster still sidelined, he's in the reserves, but I think he'll miss. It is hard to split the forward packs, and you'd probably give the edge to Brisbane in the outside backs with Staggs and Farnworth. But then the X factor of Turbo is a pretty significant factor, and given he's got some extra match sharpness from last week, and I didn't feel that he was that impressive last week, he should improve leaps and bounds. It's pretty hard to split the sides, and then you've got the Suncorp factor. It's considered an away game for Brisbane, but they are at home. So I feel the line was fair. So ultimately, it's a pass as well.
Yeah, you mentioned it. I think kicking will be big in poor weather conditions, and that duel of DCE versus Reynolds, that could decide this, and that'll be fascinating to watch. And I look at both forward packs and I agree, can't really split them, and they're both very powerful forward packs, and maybe that partisan crowd, the one game where you kind of do have a true home advantage. I know there's a lot of fans from everywhere, but the Broncos fans will come out on Friday night, and that could boost the energy of the Brisbane side and put pressure on the referee in tight moments. I always feel like it can sway a call or two, or just, you know, in terms of when a six again is called or a penalty at the right time. Manly is the better side. And then really, as you say, splitting the sides, I mean, it's the biggest reason is because of the man that plays fullback. And I thought I would be laying the 3.5, to be honest, with Manly, because just first glance, I thought that seems a little bit light. I know Manly's better, but it's all those intangibles. It's the crowd. It's Manly's travelling. You know, it's Brisbane's off the longer turnaround. I actually think that on closer examination, I would lean to Brisbane. But again, I feel like the line's probably where it should be. Saturday, we kick off a triple header with a game you've heard our best bet. But the overall line for Warriors-Rabbitohs is Rabbitohs -6.5. The Warriors will be boosted by the return of Tohu Harris off an ACL, which he did in round 18 last year. Montoya is also back, which moves Pompey to the centres. And Cam Murray is a huge loss for the Rabbitohs. No doubt reports he may need surgery for a neck and shoulder issue. Host is back for the Rabbitohs. They're slotting Arrow to lock. And Tom Burgess is also back. And Nick Arima, who's only just recently signed, is going to be straight onto the interchange bench, maybe playing that Benji Marshall role. Now, we talked in the recap again about how New Zealand went about bottling that Sharks game. And I said at the top, it has to be one of the most disappointing performances and outcomes in recent memory. I think even worse than losing 54-0 to Melbourne in some ways, because Melbourne just built up a head of steam. We're talking about a New Zealand side that was winning 10-6 and playing against 12. And for 10 minutes playing against 11. And during that period of time after leading 10-6, they lost the game 23-0 with zero line breaks. Just incredible, diabolical stuff. So when you suffer that level of disappointment, which way does it go? Because we saw they got obliterated by the Storm and they did come back and win the next week against the Raiders. Not that they were overly impressive, but they clung on there and got it done. But on the other hand, like, at what point do we think New Zealand could be in disarray? And you're coming up against last year's grand finalist, albeit they're a little bit under strength, but we talked about in the top that Souths are desperate for a win here. So it's not a great opponent for New Zealand in that respect. Now, we've shared our best bet, but honestly, I'll give you a chance to add anything else a layer below. But we do have a tip, someone weighing in on this game as well. In fact, a past NRL legend who at one stage played for South Sydney.
Hey, Dabblers, Robbie Farrow here, back again for my Roughie of the Week. Magic round this weekend up at Suncorp, boys. A great weekend of footy. I think we're going to see some great games. My roughie this weekend, I know they were terrible last week. The Warriors, they're getting slammed from pillar to post, but I think the bounce back factor this weekend against a Rabbitoh side missing some key players, they're really good value, the Warriors. I think they can bounce back this week. Have some fun, get on Dabble, have some banter with your friends, copy some bets, and all the best.
And thanks to Dabble for making those clips possible and the pod possible as well. You know, there's lots of reasons to give it a try, and several people have jumped on. And there's some novelties with Dabble, but I don't know about you, Padonis. I don't feel like the novelty's really worn off. I really still enjoy the platform, and a lot of other people are enjoying it. And the biggest amount of feedback I've had is people saying, when's it coming to New Zealand? So sorry about that. We do love our Kiwi followers, and I am passing that on. I'm trying to put the pressure on them and telling them they got to get over across the ditch. I won my same game multi as well, which was involved involving the New Zealand game. And I'll try and put one together. And that's kind of exclusively on dabble because they do have some markets for same game multis that other bookies don't even have. If you need an account, use the code Tripod when you join. Now, let's acknowledge Robbie is up against us again, and take your hat off to him because he's got a winning record on this show. And he took the Dragons against us on Anzac Day and that one. And then he backed it up and took the Cowboys over the Eels the following week. And last week he had a bye. So you could say he's fresh and he's going New Zealand. We're obviously up against him. But did you have any other key thoughts on this game?
Yeah, so interesting. Robbie is on the Warriors. And it's usually a spot that we look for as well in our traditional handicapping sense, where we take a team that everyone's happy to write off. And that would be the Warriors this week. But I do feel that after watching Nathan Brown's press conference after the game early in the week, he was scratching for answers and he doesn't know where it all went wrong. So if the coach doesn't know, then how can he translate that and teach the players during the week? I feel that that's a strong element here. Whereas Dimitri, on the other hand, really attacked his players and he called out a lot of the senior players. So I do expect a big performance. And we've been saying for a few weeks now that Cody Walker isn't right. And I'm just wondering whether this week is the week where he finally comes out and puts it all together. And last week, South's performance, we touched on in the recap, I didn't see a game where they passed the ball on the ground so many times. That's very uncharacteristic for what South have been like the last few seasons. So I don't expect that to be a continuing trend. They do have a losing record, so they want to get back to 5-5. And it's a great spot to do so. As you said, from a Thursday to a longer turnaround here. And they were embarrassed against Brisbane, whereas I feel that against Manly, it was probably a game where they were expected to win, given Manly had a send-off and they just coasted through it. So didn't have that same level of embarrassment, even though Manly did hang in there for a while. Whereas this time, they're really going to be fired up. And we've already touched on why we feel the second half line's better than the first half line. So those are my only other factors I've got here. But apart from that, let's go for a red and green onslaught.
Yeah, they've been very patchy, and we actually discussed in the recap that we probably had Souths overrated, and you can actually pick apart even a few of the games they've won as maybe it wasn't impressive and involving send-offs and sin bins. And yet here we are, we find ourselves on them, but that's because they probably are a bit on the nose with the marketplace, and we still believe that they're a finals caliber side. And I don't want to back Souths because, oh, this will be the week Cody Walker turns it on. Oh, this will be the week. Because who knows? And it might not be the conditions for it, but I really believe it'll begin with the effort and it'll begin with the intensity and on the back of their defense. Game here that's really tough to split in the twilight on Saturday, Titans, Dragons, and the Dragons come in -1.5 favorites. The Titans get back Jaden Campbell at fullback, so they revert to their initial spine that they trained in the preseason with, which is Brimson at 6. Sammy back on the wing. Izako from fullback to the other wing. So Marzu and Thompson, I should say, are out. And the Dragons are stuck with the same 17 that was outclassed by Melbourne. Yes, that means Mbai still at fullback. This is an interesting game, a tough one. Which direction did you go?
It was a pretty tough game there. And after watching last week's performance, you would say that the Titans did hit rock bottom. So I would be expecting a much improved effort against the Dragons team, who are more at their level. And with Brimson in 5'8 and Campbell returning in fullback, even though we still have some question marks about them, that's the best spine that the Gold Coast can put out this year. So I feel that will be an improvement in what they've been able to produce so far. And I would still take their spine over the Dragons after all that's said and done. And Tino did call himself out in the press conference and he attacked the other forwards around him. So I would expect them to come out hard in the middle. But I can also make a case for the Dragons, given that it will be wet conditions. And in wet conditions, it is important if you guys have a strong defensive line. And the Dragons have been playing hard and defending well. They kept Melbourne to 12 points in that first half. And then, okay, it sort of got away from them in the second half there. But there's also an unknown element that we touched on in the recap about the Titans, whether or not there's a deeper issue. So until I see a noticeable change in performance, I don't want to bet on them. So I'm happy to pass the game as well.
Yeah, I look at the Titans and I feel like they've got more talent. I say, unquote, unquote, the likes of your Campbell, your Brimson, and arguably in the forward pack, like Fodawake and Tino, they're probably better prospects than anybody who plays for the Dragons pack. But right now, what does that talent really count for? And I actually, in a weird way, respect that Hooker stuck with the same side that got pumped by Melbourne because he didn't overreact, because it's a reality that they really had, you know, they couldn't match up with Melbourne, and a lot of teams get made to look that bad. Now, we've been calling for Campbell to come back and play. He's got to be in the lineup. I'm still a believer in Brimo. I know I've criticized because he's been really underwhelming at 5'8", but overall, I'm a believer that he can be a really good 5'8" in this competition. But having said that, that's where the Titans need to look for points is Campbell and Brimo. And again, will the conditions allow them to play their best footy? Whereas you look at the other side, arguably the best player in this game is the Dragons captain, Ben Hunt, and he can dictate it with his kicking game. That's also why I lean to St. George. I think they should be the favourites. So we didn't come up with a bet on that one. And how about this Saturday night? We get two absolute juggernauts colliding, not just the best two teams of this year, but the best two teams of the 2020s by a fair distance as well. It's Melbourne against Penrith, and Penrith are a 2.5-point favourite. And that is sadly because Papenhuyzen won't be playing with that injured hamstring in addition to that knee. So Meaney is fullback. Aramea moves to the wing, with Remus Smith also out, bringing in Marion Seve. The Premiers are full strength. And this will be the third time that Melbourne and Penrith meet at Suncorp Stadium in under 12 months, in fact. Which way would you lean?
Yeah, it's easily the match of the round, and it could very well be the grand final preview. The game does lose a bit of shine, as you touched on, with Papenhuyzen out. But we've seen time and time again from Bellamy coach sides that they can slot in a backup or reserve player and they just exceed expectations straight away. So there could be some of that injured play theory here. And in this case, it is Nick Meaney, who has had some experience at least in fullback when he was at his time at the Bulldogs. And I was actually looking to lean Penrith coming off last week's loss and with a bit of extended rest. But when I think about the injury to Papenhuyzen, I think the market's overreacted to that. And it was -1.5 to Melbourne, and it's moved to 3 points, so 2.5-point underdog. But had it have moved 1.5 or 2 points and Penrith were a 1.5-point favourite, I probably would have leaned Penrith. But now that it's gone over two, it's probably just enough that we think Penrith will win, but it's hard to get there on the number, given that the fact that there is some revenge element for the Storm, that they were knocked out by Penrith in this stadium last year in the prelim. But I feel that Penrith are too professional and too hungry as a side to not match the Storm's intensity. And that's exactly what this game will be. It'll be a finals-type game, intense, highly likely to be low-scoring. And if Penrith win by 1 or 2 points, I'd hate to lose a best bet. So that's enough for us to stay off it.
Yeah, that's the point there. Every time we bet a best bet in general, we're risking 11 to win 10. So if the line's -2.5 and you want to bet Penrith, you really have to believe the line should be -4.5. Otherwise, you don't have an edge there. You're going to lose long-term if you're winning only 50% of the time. And we are 11 and 12 this season so far. So we need to pull up our socks. But long-term, we're certainly trying to find players that will win more often than they lose. And I'm with you. I came to this really thinking I'd be on Penrith. But looking at it all, you mentioned revenge factor. But I can argue that goes both ways. And they're both going to be highly motivated. Like last year, these two sides met at Suncorp. It was about round 19. Panthers were very depleted. And Storm beat them by over 30. Of course, the 2020 grand final, it's not like Penrith has forgotten that. So let's just assume that both these sides are going to be highly motivated and going to bring it and going to dish out an outstanding game that I think is going to be the closest thing you get to an origin level intensity, especially in front of a packed house that you get in clubland. And yeah, I do lean to Penrith because I actually think coming off their first loss of the season is not a bad thing. I think it's brought them down to earth. And I also think that the physical nature of that Parramatta clash is not a negative either, because I reckon that gets cancelled out by 2 extra days of prep. And if anything, it serves as a perfect tune-up for this game. So if I had to bet it, I would be on the Panthers. The loss of Pappy, whether it's an overreaction or not, I'm not sure, because he's so good. He's been in such good form this year. But I guess when you look at that, it's going to mean a little bit more. The Storm will ask for a little bit more from Harry Grant, from Hughes, from Munster, even Brandon Smith. You've got other playmakers that are just going to have to touch the ball a little bit more often. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, isn't that frightening that the underdog in this game has Grant, Hughes, and Munster? You know they're going to throw everything at Penrith. They're not going to give them anything easy. So in summary, Penrith has to be favourites. If the conditions were better, maybe the line would be 4.5. But again, In terrible conditions, those points are at a premium. And I think ultimately this game will be decided by how the Storm back three handles Cleary's kicks. And that's kind of almost how the grand final was decided. Souths can let you know that if your back three can't handle Cleary's kicks, it's extremely hard to beat this Panthers side. So lean, Penrith, don't need to bet it, I actually feel, because you're going to enjoy this. Just sit back and enjoy it. It's going to be an absolute barn burner Saturday night. Sunday, we kick off the triple header with the second game that we have a best bet on, and that's Sharks hosting the Raiders. And the Raiders are the biggest underdog of the round. They're a plus 11.5. But, you know, the NRL tried to match up these teams evenly. Before the season, these two teams were both on the cusp of the eight, right around that conversation. Now the Sharks have got like a top four side, and the Raiders probably fighting to not be a bottom four side. Now, Cronulla will be missing Kennedy and Ramien, both suspended. So Hines plays fullback, Trindle to seven, Tracy to center, Mulitalo to the wing. And for the Raiders, their prodigal son, Croker, he came back last week and then sadly got injured. So that moves straight in to Seb Chris, and Savage is on the bench. Put on us additional factors on top of our best bet, which is, again, Sharks minus 5.5, second half, $1.80.
Yeah, so the last thing for me on this game, and just to touch on that fatigue element, is that it's an easy handicap on face value to say that playing with 12 men last week does tire them out the week after. But you touched on it, and the counter to that as well is that the Sharks did hold the ball for most of the second half, and they weren't doing a whole lot of defending. So how much did it really take out of them? I'd argue that they still have a lot of energy still in the tank. And even if they are a bit tired, how much will the Raiders be able to throw at them? They are still missing Wyden, and they had 61% of possession against the Bulldogs. They made the Dogs have 132 more tackles than them last week, and they still only managed two tries despite all that weight of possession. So the Sharks are a much tougher defensive unit, way up in class for what Canberra's faced. And I'll put it to this way, Jacob, as well. At the start of the season, the Sharks and the Raiders were two sides that I had the Sharks eighth and you had Canberra eighth, and we had them slightly the other way around. And now we've gone 9 weeks into the season and the Sharks have exceeded both of our expectations, you'd say, and Canberra have slightly disappointed, and it shows in the gap of the two sides now with this point spread.
I mean, pre-season, I did pick the Raiders to come eighth, or even possibly even seventh. But that was about 2 hours before the Fogarty news broke. So that was pretty much been all downhill for the Raiders since then. Although they got that round one win, it was a best bet. Well done, Canberra. I can't see them winning this week. And I mentioned, I think Cronulla comes in full focus because they already got upset as a double-digit favourite 2 weeks ago in this stadium. They won't let that happen again. And I just want to examine that recent Cronulla form. I think maybe people didn't realize how good they were, because I think they would have absolutely flogged New Zealand last week if playing 13 on 13, just looking at the attitude they came in with compared to New Zealand, right? You go back to the loss to Brisbane, that was in a stretch of games where they played, I think, four games in about 18 days, lots of short turnarounds, and included in that bunch of four games was a trip to Melbourne, you know, which takes it out of you, and they actually hung as close to Melbourne as anybody has recently. So look, hindsight, you know, doesn't win you bets, but you can, if you can help explain past results, and I can excuse that Brisbane loss a bit, as well as the fact Brisbane are better than what people realized 2 weeks ago. Now, we talked about the suspended guys, Hines to fullback. Yeah, I agree, you don't lose too much. And Trindle is a very capable replacement in the halves as well. Really like the playmakers in the outside backs, your Talakai's, Connor Tracy, Mulitalo, Katoa, really the whole lot. And then the forward pack is so strong, and so is the bench. On the bench, you've got your Wade Grahams and Cam McInnes and Royce Hunt. So our only question to me was, what do I make of Canberra? Because I know that the Sharkies are formidable. We've touched on it. Canberra, no Whiten, two tries all game with all the ball against the Dogs. So I don't know why you wouldn't like Cronulla in this one, unless you're thinking maybe their energy's been drained. But I just think, yeah, the confidence is so boosted and they're going to want to back up that performance. And you touched on revenge factor. So a lot of things to like about Cronulla. And I do like a minus 11.5, but I think that second half line could be the even greater edge. We're going to build that into the mixed matchup as well. We are going to take the Sharks only with their second half points. So however many points Cronulla scores in the second half, they're expected to score 12. Mind you, Sunday is looking to be more promising with the weather. We're going to take the Sharks' second half total against the New Zealand Warriors' full game total, which is set around 15.5. So we are a $2.80 underdog, max bet $200 you can have on that on Top Sport. Use the code TRIPOD if you want to make a toppy account. And I think for the reasons we've stated that we think the Sharkies very well could roll the Raiders, and we think that the Bunnies are going to give 80 minutes of desperate defense to try and get out of their rut, and the weather could be worse on Saturday significantly than Sunday. There's a lot of reasons to like a $2.80 underdog pick there. Let's move to another cracking game. I'm looking forward to this one nearly as much as the Panthers Storm. And I know you said it could be a grand final preview. Well, which game were you talking about? Because the Roosters play the Eels, and the Eels are 2.5-point favourites. Averrells is out. Watson returns, and Hutchison plays some nine as well. He's on the bench for the Roosters. Lindsay Collins suspended. The Eels are unchanged from the side that arguably pulled the win of the season. And when you consider that the Eels have now beaten Penrith in Penrith and Melbourne in Melbourne this year, you got to take them seriously. So, yeah, my mouth's watering thinking about this encounter. They're hard to split again. What were your key factors?
It'll be another cracking game. And as I started to look at this game, I was fully prepared to bet on the Roosters this week because a lot of talk has been that they can't beat one of the other top four clubs and they are flying under the radar compared to some of the other powerhouses. But Parra are coming off a huge win against the Panthers. But I was expecting to see a line of 4.5 and we didn't get that. The line's a bit short and I was disappointed it was 2.5. And if I am going to take the 2.5 long term, I need to be confident that the Roosters can win the game outright 7 out of 10 times. And with Verrills injured again, which limits their ruck play, I don't get that same level of confidence. And Parra, we've seen them consistently get up against the biggest teams and in the biggest games. And this one should be no different in a Magic Round crowd, in a big game as well, against another one of their top four, you'd say top four rivals. And I would favour Parra in these conditions, given that the Roosters are probably more reliant on getting to the edges and ball control, but that's only probably a small edge. Ultimately, I feel the game can go either way. Eels are the rightful favourite, so the Lions bang on.
Can I ask a question about that statement you made there about you'd need them to win 7 out of 10? Can we just deep dive into the logic or the math or how you explain that part?
Yeah, sure. So if you're taking 2.5-point underdog, then generally you'd have to expect that team would win the game outright more times than not, because the game falling between 1 or 2 points only happens less than 10% of the time in the NRL, whereas the biggest number is the 4 or 6. So if the line was 4.5, then you'd be more confident that they can still cover, even though that they might lose the game. So that's probably where that comes from. And the 7 out of 10 for me is just a number that I've come up with over the last few years when I've been handicapping. That to me is the closest range that I get and the most confident play that I get. If I do take a small underdog, I'd have to think that they'd win at that clip.
So that's like your confidence factor. Like 7 out of 10 is 70%. So it's kind of like you think that the bet will win 70% and you need to feel that confident to actually end up with results nearing 60%. Because obviously nobody, you know, wins 70% of the time. And I would argue you could play 2.5, even if you felt the team was a 50-50. So if you felt they're going to win half the time, you could argue playing plus 2.5, it would be enough of an edge to eclipse the chalk that you're, or the vig that you're laying, but maybe not win at 60%. So I see what you're saying. Like if you want to play plus a short line in your head, you'd probably have to believe the wrong team is favored. And I think we agree that Parramatta should be favorites in this one with the form that they bring into it. They are the real deal. The only challenge for them and the question that will come up, especially if they don't win this one, is can they back up these top-notch performances? Because that's what the elite sides do. They come out and have an A+, and they can actually back it up. And I do think Parramatta are very conscious of this, and that a lot of their work of an outstanding victory last season will be undone in people's minds. If they come out and lose, people will say, well, same old Parramatta, inconsistent, you know, it was just a one-off. So I actually think Parramatta's still burning from that Cowboys game, because I've heard interviews with Brad Arthur and some of the players, and they want to talk about the Cowboys loss more than they want to talk about beating Penrith. They really feel that they need to raise their intensity every week. And I think they're going to bring that. But then on the other side, I was the one a week ago saying I bet Roosters $14, and I think that's a great time to buy on Sydney a week ago. So you know that I'm a big believer, and Podonis, I think you also believe a lot in the ceiling of this Roosters side. So that's really why you're thinking you might want to play the Roosters this week, because I think they can get to Parramatta's level. I think they could even go past Parramatta. But right now, it's clear to me the Eels are the better side, and they're going better as well. So no line value for me either. I'll be cheering the Roosters, that's for sure, because I will give a shout-out to Matty the Undertaker, and he's going to join the pod live tomorrow. I might as well say it now. Among a host of gun tipsters, we got Ben Williamson, we got Brent Douglas, the NRL stats man, we got Dane Jeffries, who's been giving us killer rugby tips, and we've got, even you're going to join as a cameo, Podonis. We've got Tim Moody, the Supercoach champion, some other NRL legends, and we've got some special markets. But Undertaker, I wanted to give a special shout out because he presented a real deep dive into the schedules of the top teams for futures betting purposes. And his conclusion was that the Roosters have probably the toughest run of anybody. So you look at them going, well, if the Roosters are serious and think they can give the competition a shake, they've got to finish top four. But as highlighted by that excellent deep dive by The Undertaker, they will not finish in the top four without some upsets. So this is such an important game for them, but it's important for Parramatta as well. So it's going to be another one that's going to be so enjoyable to watch. And it'll also be the jersey giveaway game. So just comment who you think will score the last try and the minute that you think they'll score. For example, Gutho 70, the minute is the tiebreaker. Final game, Sunday night, Tigers, Cowboys. The Cowboys are 8.5-point favourites. The Tigers get back Luciano Leilua, possibly Mamalo, pending HIA. The Cowboys are unchanged again. Are you a believer in North Queensland yet, Podonis?
I am a believer in the Cowboys, despite everyone out there thinking that we constantly hate on them each week. But again, it's another one of those games where we're always going to let the market dictate our bets. And if Dane Laurie was playing, then there's no surprises here that I'd be confident to take on the Cowboys, because I think Hastings has been super impressive since he has come back. And I'd be taking a point with the team that I feel has the better spine if Laurie was playing. But I could also make a case for the Cows too, given that Todd Payton's team are going through a pretty remarkable period right now, and the young players hardly look flustered, and their team spirit is at an all-time high. So it's hard to jump out and get in front of that. But had it been 10.5, I'd take the Tigers. But then had it have been 6.5, I'd happily lay the line with the Cowboys too. So it's one of those where I think the market's pretty fair where it is. So again, it's another pass for us.
Even when you don't mean to, I feel like you slander the Cowboys, suggesting that if Laurie was there, that the Tigers have the better spine than the Cows. I mean, at some point, yeah, I think that the key factor with the Cowboys, which I've come to realize in the last couple of weeks, and that's why I didn't want any part of that, you know, the plus 16.5 against them last week, is they're greater than the sum of their parts. They are playing so much better, and young players are improving. And these young guys, some of the guys in this Cowboys team are hearing, you know, that they're the buy of the season, or that they're in the origin frame and they're on a winning streak and they're in the top four. It's all things I've never heard before because they've been downtrodden for the last couple of years. So there's true confidence. The team is buzzing. There's something really to that. You can't look at these sides on paper, or else you're going to always think there's value against the Cowboys, but there's not when they've just on a roll. You've got to respect that. The Tigers, their fight back, and you mentioned Hastings, and he led that fight back against Manly. Look, it was impressive. Maybe it's been overlooked, the fact that Manly lost both their back rowers in the lead up to that game. You had Burbo training at one position all week, played another, even though he scored a double. Manly didn't quite put the Tigers away where they were in a position to. But in saying that, if you want to bet underdogs, and in this game, Tigers are plus 8.5, a good characteristic is a side that will keep fighting. The Tigers have shown that they will do that for you. So you can make a case for both of them. We'll leave it alone. And as I say, that will wrap our show. That's our regular preview. Please let us know what you make of our bets or any of your own bets. But tune in tomorrow night or anytime after that. 7 p.m. we're going to go live. Send your questions in. We've got some really special markets for players scoring tries, for player performance. We've got a bunch of tips coming in from all angles, and you're going to want some of your accounts ready, because I reckon some of these special markets, the prices might hold in there during the live show, but who knows how much longer. So awesome opportunity. You know, this is going to be such a fantastic weekend of footy, and we've got the 8 games crammed into 3 days. So tomorrow's a quiet night. So tune in and spend it with us for an hour or so when we go live. And it's a great time to maybe join Top Sport or Dabble. And they're both, you can use the code Tripod if you would like to do that. Podonis, you're not going to jump in live, or giving you the night off, but you've shared your thoughts on all the 8 games now, and you'll still provide a cameo tomorrow. But any closing thoughts for Magic Round? I should say you're going to do the recap live on your own as well. I've got a family commitment Sunday. So Podonis will be back. It'll be quite late Sunday night, a night shift to give a recap on Magic Round. But any other thoughts looking forward to a ripping weekend of footy?
Yeah, so on top of the preview extravaganza tomorrow that you touched on, there's no game tomorrow, so I won't be posting a multi, but stay tuned, because I will be posting a special post in the group that will give everyone out there a bit more insight into our thought process and how we try to analyze and look at games. So stay tuned for that. But apart from that, good luck with all your tips this week, and enjoy the games.
The Podonis power ratings, that'll be exciting, and that'll create great discussion as well. And that's all the extra benefits you get in our group. We'll see you there. We'll chat to you there. We'll chat to you in the comments here. Thanks for tuning in as always, guys. Enjoy the weekend. Always gamble responsibly, and legal.